around this time. Come on, let's worship our Lord this morning. Come on, stand up. We're going to enter his gates with thanksgiving.
Over the universe and over every heart. Yes, Jesus, you reign above everything. Over this world and our own worlds, God, you reign above it all. Lord, in this moment we surrender our praise to you. You are our one and only focus in this moment. Lord, we love to worship you. Come on, we sing, you were the word at the beginning.
You.
Thank you, Jesus. How wonderful and beautiful is your name. That at the name of Jesus, all our fear and anxiety has to bow. Lord, you have no rival.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Lord, increase our faith. That we speak into existence the work that you're doing. Lord, all the honor and all the glory and all the praise be yours. You're all we need. Thank you. Thank you, Father. That it's your breath in our lungs that sustains us. We love you, Lord. And all God's people said, amen.
Amen.
At this time, you can go ahead, say hi to your neighbor, and we'll get into the announcements.
Hey everyone, I'm Pastor Kimmy. We're so excited to have you joining us. The best way to stay connected in the life of our church is through our QR code. If you want more information about life groups, would like to send in a prayer request, or get involved, take out your phone and scan the QR code in your program. If you're watching us online, make sure that you hit that subscribe button. Church, we love you and we hope you have a great week.
God bless you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Harvest Time. We're so glad that you've joined us to worship the Lord today. Want to welcome everybody that is worshiping with us online this morning at 8:30. We are so glad that we're connected today by technology and connected by the Spirit of God. We want to thank you so much for all of your loving financial support of Harvest Time Church and for honoring the Lord with your giving. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 21, verse 26, that all day long the unrighteous crave for more and more, but the righteous give without sparing. Because of social distancing, we're not going to pass an offering plate through the sanctuary this morning, but if you did bring an offering with you today, we have offering boxes at all the entrances and exits, and if you'd like to slip your offering in one of those boxes as you leave the sanctuary today, that would be great. If you're worshiping with us online, you can give to Harvest Time Church securely online anytime at our website, htchurch.com. Just click the giving link on the top of the homepage, and it'll walk you through giving online. Some people like to give by text, and information for that is on the screens behind me. I want to invite you, if you have your Bibles or your Bible app, to turn with me today to Matthew chapter 4, and I want to talk to you for a few minutes this morning about what the devil doesn't know about you, what the devil doesn't know about you. Often we have people ask us about membership here at Harvest Time Church. We have a membership class on Wednesday evenings called Discovery Track. We are just finishing. It's four consecutive Wednesday evenings. We're just finishing this coming Wednesday, a session of Discovery Track, and then we'll be launching a new session on the first Wednesday of March. And so if you're interested in becoming part of our HTC family officially and joining the church, you can sign up for Discovery Track on the first Wednesday evening of March, and then four consecutive Wednesday evenings at 7 o'clock. Matthew chapter 4, let's talk for a few minutes this morning about what the devil doesn't know about you. The Bible says in Matthew 4, verse 1, I'm reading from the Passion Translation this morning, our friend Pastor Brian Simmons. Matthew 4, verse 1, the Bible says, afterward, the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the lonely wilderness in order to reveal his strength against the accuser by going through the ordeal of testing. And after fasting 40 days, Jesus was extremely weak and famished. Then the tempter came to entice him to provide food by doing a miracle. So he said to Jesus, "How can you possibly be the Son of God and go hungry? Just order these stones to be turned into loaves of bread." Jesus answered, "The scriptures say bread alone will not satisfy, but true life is found in every word which constantly proceeds from the mouth of God." Then the accuser transported Jesus to the holy city of Jerusalem and perched him at the highest point of the temple and said to him, "If you really are God's son, jump and the angels will catch you. For it is written in the scriptures, he will command his angels to protect you and they will lift you up so that you won't even bruise your foot upon a rock." Once again, Jesus said to him, "The scriptures say you must never put the Lord your God to a test." And the third time, the accuser lifted Jesus up into a very high mountain range and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all the splendor that goes with it. "All of these kingdoms I will give you," the accuser said, "if you'll only kneel down and worship me." But Jesus said, "Go away, enemy, for the scriptures say, kneel before the Lord your God and worship him only." At once the accuser left him, and I love these finishing words in Matthew 4:11, and the angels suddenly gathered around Jesus to minister to his needs. Let's talk for a few minutes this morning about what the devil doesn't know about you. This year, we're spending our Sunday mornings looking together at the matchless life of Jesus. You know, with everything going on in our world right now, there's nothing better that we could be doing. Jesus himself invited us. He said, "Take my yoke. Enter into a teacher-student relationship with me. Learn my heart, for I am gentle and lowly, and you will find rest for your souls." You know, that's my prayer for all of us this year. As we look at Jesus together, I pray that we'll learn his heart, and in so doing, find peace for our hearts. Everything we've shared about Jesus so far this year has been a prelude to his public ministry. God invested 30 years of preparation into Jesus for a 3-year public ministry. The final act of preparation was Jesus' temptation by Satan in the wilderness. I have an encouraging word to bring to you this morning. Looking at Matthew chapter 4, I want to share with you a few thoughts about what the devil doesn't know about you. On your way in, you received an outline. It's in your program. You can fill in the blanks, watch the screen, listen, follow along. If you like a copy of the sermon outline at home, there is a link to a PDF file in the chat section of the live stream. Just click on that. You can download a copy of today's sermon outline if you'd like to have it. What the devil doesn't know about you, a few thoughts from Matthew chapter 4. First, the devil doesn't know how much damage God is going to do to him through you. The devil doesn't know how much damage God is going to do to him through you. Matthew chapter 4 is about Jesus. But there is some valuable insight that we can gain here into the person of the devil. St. Paul wrote, "We are not ignorant of Satan's devices, lest he should take advantage of us." Our focus is always and only on Jesus, but we do need to be aware of our adversary. We need to know his tactics. We also need to know his limitations. One thing that we learn about the devil in Matthew 4 is that he is a real evil spiritual being. Beloved, listen, the devil is not a metaphor for the existence of evil. He is not a mere literary device, a personification of some abstract idea. The devil is an intelligent, powerful being who opposes God and all those who love God. And he leads a host of other powerful, evil spiritual beings, demons, to thwart God's purposes on earth. But we also learn from Matthew 4 that the devil has limitations. It's very important that we understand that the devil is not the equal opposite of God. The devil is not yin and God yang. The devil is not the dark side of the force and God the light side of the force. God is eternal. The devil is a created being lesser than God and subject to God. The devil is powerful. He's more powerful than us, but he is not all powerful. He is not omnipotent like God. The devil is able to cause people to see spiritual visions and have spiritual experiences. One of the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to us is the ability to discern whether the source behind something is from God, if it's from the soul of a man, or if it's from the devil. The devil has limited power to promote people into positions of leadership and influence over governments and societies and systems. The devil is able to appear suddenly and disappear and reappear somewhere else, but he is not everywhere present at all times. He is not omnipresent like God. He is knowledgeable, including a thorough knowledge of the scriptures, but he is not all-knowing. He is not omniscient like God. Jesus said that the devil relies upon a vast network of evil spirits, of demons, to convey information back to him. Ironically, Jesus said that that network of evil spirits works in cooperation with each other more easily than the children of the kingdom of heaven work in cooperation with each other. Now, there's an edifying word right there. When it came to the earthly ministry of Jesus, there was a lot that the devil did not know. The devil didn't understand the relationship between the Father and the incarnate Son. He didn't understand the total submission of the Son to the will of the Father. He didn't understand the Son's emptying of his divine powers during his time here on earth. St. Paul wrote that Jesus was God, fully God, in a human body. But here on earth, Jesus surrendered the exercise of his divine powers. St. Peter wrote that even the angels in heaven long to understand the mysteries of the incarnation and the salvation that God has accomplished for us through it. The devil is a fallen angel. What holy angels don't understand, neither does he. In his temptations, we see that the devil was fishing for information. More importantly, the devil didn't understand what Jesus was about to do to him through the cross. The devil knew that Jesus had come to inflict damage on him and on his evil agenda. That's why he tried to kill Jesus as a baby. That's why he tried to stop Jesus in the wilderness before his public ministry ever got started. But the devil had no extent of the damage that Jesus was about to do to him. And the devil didn't know how Jesus was going to do it. St. Peter wrote that the Old Testament prophets searched intently to discover the meaning of their own prophecies regarding the suffering of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. St. Paul wrote that God hid his plan of salvation in ages past. None of the demonic rulers of the world knew what God was up to. If they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You know, when it comes to you, there's also a lot that the devil doesn't know about you. He knows you're dangerous to his dominion and to his agenda. That's why he's trying to stop you right now. But he really has no idea how much damage God is about to do to him through you. He really has no idea how God is about to use you to break his dark stronghold over the neighborhood where you live. He really has no idea about how God is going to use you to change the spiritual atmosphere of your town from being resistant to the gospel to being receptive to the gospel. He really has no idea how God is about to use you to shatter strongholds of addiction and poverty and injustice and violence and sexual abuse and immorality. He really has no idea how God is about to use you to change the direction and the leadership and the atmosphere of your local school system and of your university campus. He really has no idea how God is about to use you in your workplace, among your coworkers, among your colleagues, and even among your clients. He really has no idea how God is about to use you to bring an end to the brokenness and dysfunction and iniquity that has traveled in your family line from generation to generation to generation. It ran in your family until it ran into you. God is going to use you to change the trajectory of your future generations from cursed to blessed. The devil really has no idea how God is about to use you to snatch souls from the jaws of hell and to lead them into the glorious grace and liberty of Jesus Christ, our Savior. People he's made sick in body, God is about to stretch out and heal through you. People whose minds he's tormented, God is about to bring freedom and peace through you. People he's set on a course of self-destruction, God is about to set on the path way of peace and life more abundantly through you. People that he has tangled up in impossible situations, God is about to untangle through you. Precious friends, I want to tell you, our adversary really has no idea the damage God is about to do to his agenda in this region through us right here at Harvest Time Church. And as you watch the national headlines, take heart. Our enemy has no idea the damage that God is about to do to his evil agenda for America through the Church of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you this? One revival is all it will take to wipe out over a half century of evil social engineering and indoctrination and to reset people's minds. I want to tell you, I believe that we're not only going to see it, I believe that God is going to use us to be part of ushering it in. I told the Lord when revival comes, I want HTC to be in on the IPO, the initial public outpouring. Who's with me on that one? What the devil doesn't know about you, some thoughts from Matthew 4. He has no idea the damage God is about to do through you. Second, the devil doesn't know how powerful the Holy Spirit is inside of you. He doesn't know how powerful the Holy Spirit is in you. The temptation in the wilderness reveals something awesome, something amazing, something beautiful about Jesus' time on earth. Although Jesus was and is fully God, Jesus didn't rely upon his divine powers to help him through this life. I don't know whether you ever had this experience, but I read about Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, his 40 days of fasting and his withstanding the enemy, and I kind of say to myself, well, that was easy for Jesus. He's God. But Jesus refused to summon his divine powers, as Matthew 4 makes clear. Instead, listen, Jesus underwent temptation fully as a man, relying solely upon the help of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, the New Testament book of Hebrews wouldn't be able to testify truthfully about him that he was tempted in every way just as we are, yet without sin. You know, I'm not sure that we really fully grasp the significance of Jesus' life of perfect obedience to the Father. It was not a piece of cake for Jesus. His life of obedience required constant prayerfulness, constant vigilance, complete focus, constant self-surrender, constant reliance upon the Holy Spirit. Only that way could Jesus be our suitable representative on the cross and now in heaven. Do we realize the magnitude of what Jesus has done for us and at what a great cost? Knowing that Jesus lived on earth as a man fully surrendered to God is just one more reason to give him all praise and glory. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and has given him a name above every name. And knowing that Jesus lived on earth as a man fully surrendered to God is also a reason for us to have hope, because Jesus has given to us the very same Holy Spirit to enable us to live just as he lived. He's gone ahead of us and he's shown us the way to live our lives on earth doing God's will. And through the cross and through the Holy Spirit, he's provided us with all the tools we need to do it. Here's what the devil doesn't know about you. The Holy Spirit is powerful in you to subdue your bodily appetites. The Holy Spirit is powerful in you to subdue your bodily appetites. Something else we learn about the devil from the temptation story is that he is an opportunist. He knows when we are most vulnerable to his evil influence. Like Jesus, we're vulnerable when we're alone. Satan approached Jesus when Jesus was isolated in the wilderness, and again later on when Jesus was alone in the Garden of Gethsemane. Isolation is his favorite place to mess with us. That's why fellowship with other believers is so critically important. Like Jesus, that's good preaching right there, by the way. I just should stop to pause. Like Jesus, we're vulnerable on the heels of a big win when we're feeling euphoric. At Jesus' baptism, God made a very public affirmation of Jesus. The heavens opened, the Holy Spirit descended in the form of a dove, and God spoke in an audible voice from heaven. It was a pretty dramatic introduction to the public stage. The devil saw an opportunity to capitalize on Jesus' excitement and his delight in the Father's endorsement of him. Jesus, you're on a roll now. Since you're the Son of God, use your powers to perform messianic signs, making bread and appearing on the roof of the temple. These were things that people expected the Messiah might do. Let's keep this momentum going. In the very same way, when we're in a season when God is affirming us with big results, the enemy looks for opportunities to entice us to step out and reach for more beyond God's will. Oh, you just completed a big building? Let's build an even bigger one. Surely God is with you. Oh, you just landed a big promotion? Let's reach even higher. Surely God is with you. Like Jesus, we're vulnerable when we're determined to pursue God more. In his baptism, Jesus signaled to the Father that he was ready and willing and able to fully obey God in his public ministry, even all the way to the cross. We have 10 people receiving water baptism at our 11:30 worship service today. And just like for them, Jesus' baptism was an act of total consecration to God. Now Jesus is in the wilderness, fasting, seeking God, drawing near to God. You know, those are precisely the times that our enemy comes after us to distract us and to redirect us. The closer we draw to God, the more dangerous we are to him and to his evil agenda on earth. Pastor Nick has introduced a little saying around here that's stuck. New levels, new devils. And you know, it's true. Maybe you've noticed that just the moment you decide you want to grow spiritually, The devil throws all kinds of challenges your way. Just the time you decide that you're going to trust God in the area of your finances and begin honoring him with the tithe, the car breaks down, or the fridge goes out, or you lose a big client, or your hours are cut back. Like Jesus, we're also highly vulnerable when our bodily appetites are unmet. Jesus fasted for 40 days fully as a man. He had a fully human stomach. He had fully human muscles that cried out for nourishment. He had fully human blood sugar levels. The New Testament book of Hebrews says that Jesus suffered during his temptation. He was legit famished and weak. Mark adds the detail that Jesus was all alone with the wild animals. The jackals were licking their chops. The buzzards were circling around overhead. Since God is our creator and since Jesus lived on earth fully as a man, he understands our vulnerability when it comes to our bodily needs. He completely gets our need for physical nourishment and shelter and clothing and for physical intimacy because he went without all of those things at different points during his earthly sojourn. Here's the gist of the first temptation. Since you are the Son of God, surely your Father doesn't want you to go hungry any longer. 40 days are finished, so go ahead, use your powers to make some bread. The devil tried to entice Jesus to step out beyond God's will, to exercise his autonomy, and to use his surrendered divine powers to satisfy his own hunger. Doing so would have violated the whole premise and the whole purpose of the incarnation. Jesus would have ceased at that moment to be the perfectly obedient man and disqualified himself from being our representative. It's just like the very first temptation in the Garden of Eden. Satan enticed our first parents to exercise their autonomy and to violate God's will in order to gratify their own bodily appetites. Can I tell you, when it comes to us, Satan is still running the same plays from the same old playbook. Rather than trusting our Father to meet our needs when and how he determines, the devil entices us to take matters into our own hands and to gratify our needs, even if it comes at the expense of disobeying God. Surely God wants me to be happy and fulfilled and satisfied. Surely, God, you understand, if I bend the rules just a little bit, being in a committed relationship with somebody, that's the same thing as being in the covenant of marriage, isn't it, God? Oh, did I say that out loud? Here's what the devil didn't expect: the Holy Spirit helping Jesus. If you recall, at Jesus' baptism, the Holy Spirit descended from heaven like a dove and alighted upon Jesus. St. Luke writes that Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. The devil had tangled with plenty of godly men before, but this was the first time that he ever encountered a man full of the Spirit the way that Jesus was. In that moment, physically weak though he was, the Holy Spirit gave Jesus clarity of thought and resolve of will and spiritual discernment and a word of wisdom. The Holy Spirit brought to Jesus' mind an incident in the wilderness when God used a lack of food to test what was in Israel's heart. The Holy Spirit gave Jesus a scripture from Deuteronomy to stand upon that enabled Jesus to keep his bodily appetites in check and remain within God's will. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Here's what the devil doesn't know about you. If you have invited Christ into your heart by faith, then the same Holy Spirit that helped Jesus is inside of you. St. Paul wrote that in our moments of vulnerability, the Holy Spirit gives us power to subdue the demands of our bodies that are threatening to lead us outside of the will of God. The Holy Spirit is there to give us clarity of thought and resolve of will and spiritual discernment and a word of wisdom. The Holy Spirit will bring to mind a scripture that we can stand on and use as a sword to fight off the enemy of our souls. God has promised not to allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear. And when we're tempted, he will provide a way out for us so that we can endure it. As it turns out, this is just a little side note, both for Israel in the wilderness and Jesus in the wilderness, God already had a plan in motion to provide for their needs. For Israel, God already planned to send them manna for bread and quail for meat. For Jesus, God had already dispatched angels to feed him, just like God fed Elijah supernatural angel food cake in the wilderness. Listen, I have a word of encouragement for somebody listening today. Just you hold on a little bit longer because God has already dispatched what you need. Don't take matters into your own hands. Don't step outside of God's will. Help from his sanctuary is on the way to you. Ministering angels are on the way to you, bringing God's appointed provision to you. Don't fall short on day 40 of your fast. What the devil doesn't know about you. Another thought. You doing all right this morning? All right, this is a little bit longer than usual, but I got to give you everything the Holy Spirit gave me, all right? I'm going to go home happy today, whatever else happens. Here's another thought. The Holy Spirit is powerful in you to satisfy your need for security and significance. The Holy Spirit is powerful in you to satisfy your need for security and significance. Since Jesus was fully a man, not only did he contend with physical needs, he also wrestled with human emotions. Jesus experienced joy and grief, trepidation, hurt, loneliness, indignity. He experienced righteous anger. He experienced the pain of extending genuine friendship and receiving betrayal in return. The one who has shared my bread has lifted up his heel against me. If Satan couldn't trip Jesus up with physical needs, his next ploy was to play on Jesus' emotions. The gist of the second temptation was diabolically genius. Since you are the Son of God, let him prove his love to you. Let him prove his love for you to the world with a showstopper. Jump off the temple roof and the angels will catch you. Satan selectively quotes from Psalm 91, which boasts about God's protection of his loved ones. Listen, that's why you need to be in the Word of God. How you doing with the daily Bible reading, reading through the Bible in a year? Haven't the devotions been absolutely amazing that our different HTC family members? This is why you need to know what the Word says, because the enemy loves to twist the Word of God and give you just part of it. Jesus was ready to launch his public ministry. God had just affirmed his love for Jesus with a voice from heaven on the banks of the Jordan River, but only a handful of people were there to witness it. Jesus heard it. We know that John the Baptist heard it. Presumably, some of the others gathered there heard it as well, but that's it. The Jewish rabbis taught that when Messiah came, he would appear on the roof of the temple. Why not go ahead and put God in a position to affirm Jesus in front of a large audience? Rather than launching a ministry in obscurity in the wilderness, why not start with a bang? Let's get this party started, Jesus. Can I tell you, when it comes to us, The devil tries to play on those very same emotional needs, the need to be loved, the need to be noticed, the need to be valued. Our enemy wants to provoke us into manipulating God, into demonstrating his love for us through displays of his power or his protection or his provision. He entices us to presume upon God, to step out and act on our own, and then expect God to bail us out of trouble. Listen, can I tell you, there is a major difference between acting in faith and acting in presumption. When we built our first sanctuary and then this sanctuary, we didn't stick a shovel in the ground and then say to God, "We dare you to let us fail." We built what we did, where we did, when we did, because we had very clear and specific directions and multiple confirmations from the Lord every single step of the journey. You know, I like to say that when we trust God, he dummy-proofs our lives. And it's true. Even our mistakes, he takes and he turns and uses for our good and his glory. That's all true, but it doesn't give us any permission to act like dummies. What the devil didn't count on was the Holy Spirit helping Jesus. The devil didn't understand the loving bond of relationship that the Holy Spirit created between the Father and the incarnate Son. The Holy Spirit in Jesus made him feel affirmed and secure and significant. Jesus didn't need the Father to prove his love to him. Jesus knew he was loved. He didn't need the Father to show off his love for Jesus in front of large crowds of people to win their applause or their approval. Jesus knew who he was. In the very same way, the Holy Spirit is powerful inside of us, affirming the Father's love for us, making us secure, making us significant. We don't need to push on God to prove his love for us. We already know he loves us. We don't need God to show off on our behalf to help us win the approval of others. We know who we are in him. What the devil doesn't know about you, one last thought and we're done. The Holy Spirit is powerful in you to keep you loyal to God, even when his plan for you includes suffering. The Holy Spirit, everybody listen, and we're almost done. I know we're a little long, but listen, you don't want to miss the best part. The Holy Spirit is powerful in you to keep you loyal to God, even when his plans for you includes suffering. The third and final temptation cuts straight to the heart of Jesus' mission on earth. Satan was exercising illegitimate authority over the earth, authority that he usurped from us through deceit. And Jesus came to rectify that situation. The devil didn't know how Jesus was going to accomplish it, but he knew enough scripture to know that the Messiah's mission included suffering. So he proposed an evil compromise. Jesus, let's make a deal. You get your precious humans that you've always wanted, why I don't know, and skip the suffering, and I will finally get the worship that I have always wanted. But here's what the devil didn't know. Listen to me. Jesus didn't come to make a deal with the devil. He came to utterly crush him. Jesus had no intention of negotiating with Satan. He had no interest in establishing a brokered peace on earth. St. John wrote, "For this purpose, Jesus came to destroy the works of the evil one." I have a word, worship team, you can come help me. I have a word for somebody listening today. You have been living far too long in an existence of brokered peace with the devil. You've resigned yourself to putting up with his harassments and living bound to destructive habits. You love Jesus, but you have ceded authority over certain areas of your life and over your family to the enemy, but you don't have to do it anymore. The devil is not an entity that you have to negotiate with. What the devil didn't know was that the moment Jesus died on a Roman cross with the sins of the whole world upon him, the devil would be completely disarmed. His claim against us was voided out by the cross. He lost his right to harass and harm and hold us captive anymore. What the devil didn't know is that on the cross, Jesus would triumph over him fully and make him the eternal laughing stock of the entire universe. What the devil didn't know as he faced off with Jesus was that the Holy Spirit was ministering strength to Jesus' innermost being. What the devil didn't know was that the Holy Spirit was keeping Jesus weak as he was, pressed as he was, rooted and grounded in the love of the Father. Neither Jesus' present suffering nor the prospect of any future suffering was ever going to persuade Jesus to disobey God. The devil went a bridge too far when he suggested that Jesus worship anyone or anything else beside the Father. What the devil didn't know is that the Holy Spirit inside of Jesus was about to exert his authority as the rightful owner of the earth and everything in it. Get away from me, Satan. It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Beloved, listen to me this morning. When it comes to us, here is what the devil doesn't know. The same Holy Spirit that sustained Jesus in the wilderness is powerful inside of us to keep us worshiping God no matter what suffering may come our way. 2 weeks ago, I had literally the hardest couple of days of my entire life. I can't tell you about it now. I'll tell you about it someday. But in the midst of suffering, I refuse to stop worshiping God. Though he slay me, yet will I praise him, for he knows the way that I take, and I shall come forth as gold when he's tried me. Here's what the Holy Spirit doesn't know about you, what the devil doesn't know about you. The Holy Spirit inside of you is more powerful than him. Greater is he that is in you than the one who is in the world. What the devil doesn't know about you is that Jesus has rescued you out of his dominion of darkness, and he has translated you into the kingdom of the beloved Son. What the devil doesn't know about you is that God has hidden the treasure of his Holy Spirit inside of your earthen vessel. What the devil doesn't know about you is that even though he's pressing you hard on every side, you will not be crushed. Even though he is persecuting you, you will never feel abandoned by God. Even though he has knocked you down, he will never knock you off course. What the devil doesn't know about you is that even though you are outwardly wasting away, inwardly the Holy Spirit is renewing you day by day by day. What the devil doesn't know about you is that nothing that he throws at you will ever be able to separate you from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. What the devil doesn't know about you is that Jesus has given you all authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. That means demons. And he's given you power over authority over all the power of the enemy. I looked that up in Greek. Do you know what that means? It means you have authority over all the power of the enemy. What the devil doesn't know about you is that sin shall not have dominion over you. What the devil doesn't know about you is that though he may have sifted you as wheat, Jesus has prayed for you, and when you turn back, you will strengthen many. Glory to God! Listen. Listen, and we're done. Here's what the devil doesn't know about you You are not going to live any longer in an existence of brokered peace with him. You are not going to cede authority to him in any area of your life, nor in your family. Not today, devil. What the devil doesn't know about you is that in all these things, you are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ, who loved you. Give him glory this morning. Give him praise this morning. That's what the devil doesn't know about you. Come on, lift up your voices. Let's worship him. Let's sing. Come on. Come on, give the Lord one more good praise in this place today. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. You know, the Apostle Paul wrote, with the same spirit of faith, I believe and therefore speak. I want you to just make a confession of faith if you're willing. Would you put your hand over your heart? Here's what the devil doesn't know about you. He will not stop you. He will not hinder you. He will not stand in your way. Come on, I want you to make a confession of faith from the words of Paul in Romans chapter 8. Would you say this with me? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. In all these things, I am more than a conqueror. In all these things, I am more than a conqueror. Through him who loved me. Amen. Come on, give the Lord one more good praise this morning. God bless you, everyone. Listen, if you would like to receive personal prayer, our prayer teams are going to be in the reception room. It's right across the foyer in that direction. Pastor Ruth and some of our friends will be there to pray with you. God be with you. Have an amazing, awesome Sunday. We have 10 people following Jesus in water baptism at the 11:30 service today. Tune in if you're home and just celebrate and rejoice. God be with you. God bless you. Go in victory today in Jesus' name.